What is hope? The story of Hannah epitomizes just what hope is. I have a pair of socks that were given to me as a gift that say, "I'm a girl. What's your superpower?" Hannah's socks would say, "I have hope. What's your superpower?" She represents the end of the time of judges and the beginning of the monarchy, for it is her son, the one for whom she so deeply prays, that ushers in this new world. We learn at the end of her story that she is the mother of Samuel, the one whom God called in the night, the one whom both chose and anointed King Saul and David. But before there was a Samuel, before there was a Saul, and before there was a David, there was a Hannah. Because of Hannah and the hope she had, our faith traditions are what they are. I love the name Hannah. It means favor or grace. I also love it because my grandfather played semi-professional football, and so his mother wouldn't know that he was playing because she said, "Do not play football." He changed his last name to Hannah. And when I was younger, people would say to me, "Aren't you Johnny Hannah's granddaughter?" And I'd say to my dad, "Ah?" And my dad said, no, you are. You're Johnny Hannah's granddaughter." So I think he and his brother, who also changed his name in order to box, thought they would go undetected by their mother. I don't think she was dumb, but I think for their good fortune, she probably couldn't read, at least read English, because she didn't speak much English either. So there's not a lot of favor or grace in what my grandfather and my great uncle did, but there's a lot of hope. I believe that he hoped for a better future for himself than the one in the shop at the steel plant, dusty, dirty, hot. So he quit school in the eighth grade and played football. He didn't become a professional, but he did have a chance to play against an aging Jim Thorpe, of whom he spoke well into his later years. He said he was remarkable. He was able to do that as a young man before he had to hang up his cleats. He hoped for a career, but he had the experience of a lifetime. And he kept hoping and didn't find himself working in the dusty, dirty, hot shop like his immigrant father, but rather he became a tool and die maker, an artisan in the same organization. My dad took that one step beyond. He became an estimator for the same steel company, sort of like an engineer without a degree. They all hoped for better lives for those who followed. I know I've mentioned this cartoon before, the one about the three women in desert garb sitting on camels. One of the camels is a few paces ahead of two of them that are side by side. On one camel, there's a rumper sticker that proclaims, "My son is a doctor." The next proclaims, "My son is a lawyer." And the one camel in the front has a rumper sticker that proclaims, "My son is God." The one says to the other woman, "That Mary, she is such a show-off." This cartoon is actually illustrative of this story of Hannah. It gives us a better understanding of her position. We learn that her husband, Elkanah, gives her a double portion, despite the fact that she has not given him children. I have to say that is really, really nice of him. He clearly loves her very much, but I think I'd be a little annoyed if I were the other wife. Maybe that's why he sort of taunts her. That said, Hannah needs that extra portion. If Elkanah were to predecease Hannah, and she had no sons to care for her, she would likely be in very dire straits. This parish was founded on the concept of caring for widows and orphans, and the wonderful people who founded this parish didn't dream that up on their own. This is an age-old commitment of our faith. And the better position the son, the better chance for the mother's comfort in her widowhood. So you see, since the Lord had closed her womb, Hannah was filled with sorrow and probably a little bit of fear. We know she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly to the extent that those looking thought she was drunk. And she vows that she will give her male child to God, service to God, and service to God's people. Despite her circumstances, she had hope. So I like all sorts of genres of entertainment. You are just as likely to find me watching goofy physical comedies like The Three Stooges, which I watched all during law school, which I think I really needed to watch during law school, as I am to be watching a really dark drama. One of my favorite sitcoms that aired in the 2010 to 2014 timeframe was a show called Raising Hope. I mean, you can't even call it goofy. It's like goofy cute. It involved a family in the fictional town of Natesville. Jimmy Chance was a good kid, not the brightest bulb. Jimmy ends up fathering a child of a woman who ends up on death row. And he comes back from visiting her in prison with a child in tow in a prison onesie. The baby's mother, the one on death row, names her Princess Beyoncé Carlisle. But at the end of the first episode, the family decides on a better suited hope. The incomparable Cloris Leachman plays Hope's great-great-grandmother. Virginia, Hope's grandmother, cleans houses. And Bert, Hope's grandfather, has a pool and lawn business that sort of just limps along. Jimmy was born to them on prom night, so they never had a chance to do anything but have a family. Jimmy is his dad's assistant, and he also bags groceries in order to support his new child, Hope. They are down, but they are not out. They have hope, literally, figuratively. And although they struggle to keep a roof over their heads and food in their stomachs, they commit to bringing up this little girl in a family that, although dysfunctional, is very loving. It is a family that is looking to the future, and it is a future filled with promise for all of them as they commit to bringing this child up better than they were brought up. Hope is their beacon of light. Hope is the beacon of light. In today's gospel, we have Jesus telling his disciples that all they know will be torn down, that people will try to lead them astray. He also talks about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The earth will quake in places. There will be famine. And he calls those birth pains. And they are but the beginning. Birth pains. Birth means the end of one type of existence and the beginning of another. Friends, we are people of resurrection. But resurrection only can follow death. It is as natural a part of life as birth. The end of one way of life means the beginning of another. Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple. Christian life is designed to take place not in the atmosphere of fear and anxiety about whether God is, after all, gracious and forgiving, but in the certainty that we have permanently that access to God's presence. And we do. God is not hidden away in our houses of worship. He is here and now. He is out there, and there, and there, and there, and here, and there, and now. The disciples knew that their lives of faith were changing as they were living them. And like them, as we move from one way to another, we must have hope in the future. But there are some whose stock in trade is fear. What does Jesus say to his disciples? Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he. And they will lead many astray. If someone tries to convince us that good things come out of anything other than faith, hope, and love, they are leading us astray. Hate and fear are four-letter words. Hope and love make all things new. In times when hate and anger and despair seem to dominate our daily existence, how do we keep hope alive? Think about what or whom you most love in this world. Think about how you care for that which you cherish. Norwegian author Carl Ove Knausgård wrote a series of books, one of which includes a letter to his unborn daughter. In it, he talks about how he must protect this child and how the feelings that burst forth in the adult are irresistibly good as the child rests in his arms and against his chest in total trust. For as he says, one knows how much pain the world will inflict. One knows how complicated and difficult life will become, and how the child will develop a whole series of defense mechanisms, avoidance strategies, and methods of self-preservation in that intricate interaction with one's social environment that full life entails, for better or worse. He continues, none of this is present in the infant. The joy that shines in its eyes is entirely pure, and the adult body it leans its head against is still the safest place it has. Our hope is that infant. Our safe place is resting in God, believing that through God, all things are possible. Hope is our superpower. Amen.